Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard, one at a time, until we've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. This episode, I'm going to take an overall look at Quality Area 3, Children's Health and Safety, which we've just covered element by element. Now, this is an opportunity to think about how all the standards and elements of Quality Area 3 work together and how you can think about approaching quality improvement in this area as a whole. All right, so let's start with the big picture with this quality area. So quality area three, physical environments. So this is around, so if we look at, in terms of the journey we've gone on in the national quality standard so far, quality area one was the program and practice. So really thinking about that educational component to what we were doing, how we sat down and planned and implemented. Quality area two, children's health and safety, two really big, important structural foundational parts of the national quality standard. With quality area three, we're starting to get into the detail of how we approach children's learning in particular. And interestingly, there are elements of both quality area one, so the program, and quality area two, health and safety, that are really embedded in quality area three. But in terms of, you know, taking a really big step back, looking at quality area three, this is really about the environments in the both indoor and outdoor spaces, both built and natural, and that when we and that these are the foundations for promoting play-based learning, particularly. So we have the structural foundation of the environment. So that might be, you know, the building we're in. And sometimes we don't have a lot of choice about those, and we had a big chat about that in one of the previous elements. So we have the sort of structural foundation of the building, which, you know, very often we can't control or do anything with. Then we have, you know, how we sort of set that up in terms of big furniture, the big objects we put into that space that belong to us and we have some control over. We can move furniture, we can move particular big things. And then the resources and the activities and the experiences we're putting into there. But in quality area three, particularly looking at those resources, what are we putting in there? So it's really saying, you know, how does the things we can control and the things maybe we have to work around, how do they support children to learn? At the end of the day, the environment is only as good as how it is helping children to learn. And that's mean it's really trying to get us to think as well beyond just the aesthetics, just how it looks, and, you know, not just comparing ourselves with how other centres look, and particularly, you know, how they look on Pinterest or Facebook or those kind of things. Really getting the question of how does this support children's learning? The other thing we want to think about is that is supporting sort of issues of inclusion and making sure that all of the children can participate in the program. This is a really big part of Quality Area 3, inclusive spaces. Some of that is about making sure that the environment itself is what we call fit for purpose, one of the elements of Quality Area 3, that they're well maintained and that there are facilities to ensure, you know, at a fundamental level that all children can access the space. We often think about this from the perspective of disability and, you know, wheelchair ramps and that kind of access, but it's always important to remember that, yes, that we do need to consider those issues, but that all children need inclusion needs at some point in time. And it's not just about the physical space itself, but it's how we use it, how a space is welcoming children, how are we building connections between children and spaces. It's really important, and one of the reasons I like doing these overview episodes in detail, we can miss particular things. One of the things that I've been thinking about with Quality Area 3 as we've been going through this journey is the need, the real need to build that relationship between children and the space. When children are coming into a brand new space, the first relationship they really have is with the space itself. You know, while they're still building a relationship with the educators and the adults in that space, the actual environment itself is the first thing we want to make sure is set up to have that positive relationship with children. So making sure the spaces are appropriate, fit for purpose, resources are good, resources are well maintained, but that, you know, the environment is really welcoming children and welcoming all children. And then we also know that what this quality area is telling us is that the physical environment has a really big impact on how children experience learning, their ability to engage in learning, and particularly that they're learning about the environment itself, the environment in the broader sense. So learning to become environmentally responsible, that was the element we looked at last week, but the actual physical environment itself is a starting point for engaging children in practices that we want them to take with them into the future. And, you know, hopefully we're giving them, you know, the skills to really become custodians and guardians of the environment is really important. So when we take a look at, you know, sort of the big picture of quality area theory, and I guess where it fits into the National Quality Framework, this is really that idea of the environment being, you know, the critical foundation. It's really, in some cases, literally, you know, setting the stage for children's learning. This is where, you know, this is where we bring out our toolkit as directors and educators, and we bring out our skills. We have to have that foundation to be able to do that. It is important to remember that. The NQF isn't specific about, the kind of tables and the kind of resources. It does know that every service is unique and different, and that services will have access to different things or potentially be limited by some things. So it's not prescriptive, but it's saying, you know, we need to take that seriously. That this is the foundation for learning. All right, one of the other things we do with these overview episodes is have a think about three things to focus on. There's always so much to look at and think about in all of these areas. So these three things aren't the only three things you can think about, but they're kind of the things, if I was coming into a new centre, I'd be really, coming in as the new centre director or coming in as supporting the service. These are the kind of the three top things I'd be sort of putting to the top of my plate. So one is that is as I was sort of talking about before, that link to quality area ones, so the programming and planning. So really thinking about how we're planning for environments. I think sometimes we sometimes see that as a little bit separate. So we will come up with a big, either a map or a guide, or we kind of just move things around in the classroom until we get the right feeling. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. We should trust our instincts about how things are feeling, about the space. Is it working for children? Is it working for educators? But the best way to approach this from a quality improvement perspective and from an assessment and rating perspective is really have a plan around how you're doing it and really bring it back to that cycle of planning. Really thinking about how we're looking about what's working and what's not working, trying things out, assessing whether they're working, then trying again, really trying to link it with that quality area one. And we want to think about as well, linking to the early years learning framework as well, is that there is a, you know, there is a principle around physical environments, but also that idea of holistic learning, that children as a whole person, not just thinking about literacy and numeracy and those kind of things, but how are we planning for things like well-being, imagination, creativity, and particularly those developing independent skills. There's a real place there for physical environments to build those skills, because the idea is you can have children come into particular spaces where things are set up for that kind of learning, and there doesn't necessarily have to be an educator there all the time for them to engage in that space. Obviously, educators can step in and engage when that's appropriate, but we also know that one of the skills of teaching and educating in the early years is about when stepping back and allowing children to take those skills, take them skills for themselves. So, you know, how are we planning for those extra skills as well? One of the other things we want to think about is how we providing a really diverse range of experiences. And this was a big part of week by week exploration of quality area three, was having a diversity of resources and environments, so built and natural, indoor, outdoor, all those kind of things. And this for me is really thinking about how are we making sure we're planning for the outdoor space as well? So that diversity of experience is about saying, you know, what are the things we want children to be experiencing? Some of that must include the natural world as well. And can we be bringing some of the natural world indoors, bringing some of the things we might normally plan indoors, outdoors, but really saying, you know, what's the broadest range of experience we can provide for children? And this is about really saying, you know, not doing what we've always done. And can you coming into a space and we kind of just set things up roughly the same and we run the same kind of things we normally do. This is about really saying, how can we broaden that experience for children? How can we get them to experience different things throughout the day? And then another big thing to focus on is really that link then with quality area two, which I mentioned before. So how are we making sure the physical environments are safe for children? And there's a planning element there as well. How are we creating and organizing space that ensure children are safe, that can reduce the risk of conflict and injury? There's no simple answers to these questions, but we want to be thinking about, you know, open spaces where, you know, small children can gather in groups to engage in particular things, making sure there are enough resources available. It's not about having one for every single child, but you also don't want, you know, something that is popular and engaging for children that is difficult for children to access, or there might only be one or two of. Creating, you know, zones of areas of play, and particularly one of the things where, and this is tricky given your particular classroom layout and structure, but you want to make sure that there are areas where, you know, children don't have to go through children's play to get to another area, if that makes sense. You want to have sort of corridors where children can move through and not be interrupted, and they can continue their play in that particular way. So really, you know, it's really about taking that planning approach to that physical environment. All right, one of the other things I like to do in these overview episodes is take a look at the new exceeding themes from a sequel. These are still relatively new. They sort of came in the 2018 changes to the National Quality Standard. I think as a sector, we're all still working through what the exceeding themes mean. So I thought I might, for each of the three exceeding themes, just take a look at how I think they might relate to quality area three. So the first exceeding theme is practice is embedded in service operations. This one, I think, you know, is really about, there's another strong link here between Quality Area 3 and Quality Area 1. So documenting, the documentation process in particular, documenting changes as they happen. This is really important to be able to demonstrate that there has been thought and planning and assessment and reflection going into these kind of things. So making sure we're documenting. Now, again, not reams and reams and reams of documentation. I'm not suggesting, you know, that needs to happen, but notes of staff meetings, photos of changes, all these things are documentation. Evidence of discussions with children, really important. But and that's a way of demonstrating that that embedding process has been taken. But really, what we're talking about when things are embedded is that all the educators in the service can articulate the approach to Quality Area 3. Why do we have classrooms set up in a particular way? Why is the classroom I work in just have this resources and this approach to the environment? Why do we have the outdoor area set up? You know, that's what that's really about. And it's a huge challenge when you have, particularly, we have lots of larger teams now. Most new centres are being built with, you know, six classrooms and over 100 children. How do we make sure that everyone's on the same page? And that's really that process of embedding. And I'd be thinking about, you know, how is that part of induction? When new educators are coming on board, how do you talk about the physical environments? How do you engage in that process of explaining why we do things in that particular way? The next exceeding theme is practice is informed by critical reflection. Obviously, another link with Quality Area 1. Again, I won't spend too much time on this. How you engage in critical reflection, as we talked about in that element discussion, is up to you. There's no way to do, you know, there's no one way to do that. But in terms of, you know, the physical environment, this will be a good opportunity if there have been challenges or particular issues, there's been a run of injuries in a particular space. That's a really good starting point for critical reflection. What isn't working in that space? What is something we can improve? What's something we can try? And again, documenting and being clear about that process. But this is an opportunity trying to identify what can't we change. So what's a structural part of the building that's just impossible for us to change, but there's so much that is in our control. What do we want to look at? What do we want to change? We don't want to automatically assume that, you know, that how children are engaging with the space is the challenge itself. It may be that the space itself is set up in a particular way, or that children need to be accessing different spaces during the day. So critical reflection, there's a chance to answer some of the big questions. Particularly around inclusion, you know, the great social justice questions you could ask about your physical environment. Are they welcoming to people from all backgrounds? Are they welcoming to all children? You could ask some really great critical reflection questions on that issue. And then the last one is practice is shaped by meaningful engagement with families and or the community. You know, environments are actually an interesting one. I think that's something families can really sort of get their head around in terms of how we approach early education. There's a big focus on home-like environments in early education spaces. And while I think we can go too far down that road, I don't think early education spaces should just be, you know, little mini houses. I don't agree with that. But What they're saying is, when we're saying home-like, for me that means welcoming and a place where children feel safe and secure. And we can talk about that with families really, really clearly and easily. How do the children feel at home in their homes? And how can we sort of link that in to the work we do in our early education spaces? But, you know, really this is an opportunity for consultation, for having tours and open nights and talking with families about why physical environments are set up in the way they are. But you might want to think about things like surveys if you're looking at a particular change to a space. You could send out a quick survey to families about what they think is important, what they see has worked and not worked. There are lots of ways to engage families, but the best way is bringing them in and having that discussion during orientation or during tours or during pickup and, you know, drop off. Is asking, you know, maybe asking some questions about how they feel about the particular space. Do they feel welcome? Do they feel engaged as a visitor to that space? And then, you know, asking their feedback on how children maybe talk or engage about the space when they're not there. All right, we are now officially done with Quality Area 3, with three quality areas down. We'll be taking, pretty much after the overview episodes, I'll take a one-week break after each one just to catch the breath and keep going and do some prep research work for the next quality area. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with the beginning of Quality Area 4. So really appreciate everyone who's been enjoying and coming along on the journey. This is a great one if you know of a colleague or a service that you think would really benefit from these quick guides to the National Quality Standard. Please share them out. The best way for people to spread the news is to do it, you know, by sending an email or letting someone know that we're doing this crazy journey. I'd love to have more people along on the trip through the NQS. But until we're back in 2 weeks, it's goodbye from me.